You're listening to Show Me Your Mic, a show that interviews other podcasters about their workflows, gear, and thoughts on podcasting. Your host is Chris Enns, a podcaster who's hoping to learn more about the craft by talking to fellow broadcasters.
Yeah, the whole like branded stuff or having the corporate YouTube channel be the one that ends up at the top for YouTube. YouTube is kind of that kind of place where they just, you can put anything,
yeah.
And it's sometimes it's better to just have really candid reviews actually at the top that people can look at. They probably respond a little bit better to that anyway.
Yeah, less corporate-y.
Yeah.
Biz speak.
Yeah, well, nobody wants to hear me that much, so.
Everybody wants to hear you, Kyle. The voice of an angel.
I guess I'm a bodybuilder and I play the piano. I want to be all these people combined.
the super Kyle, Uber Kyle.
Yep.
All right, well, what you're listening to is Show Me Your Mic. Hopefully you figured that part out. And who you're listening to, if you haven't figured out, is Uber Kyle Roderick. Hey, Kyle, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
I'm well. I'm just going to jump right into the show because I know you've got a heart out, as we sometimes say. Hop on another show. You're Mr. Podcast today.
I am. Should be fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you on. You're the one of the patron saints of SSKTN in the form of membership, but also I'm not just shamelessly plugging you in thanks for being a member of SSKTN, which if you're listening and you're interested, sskTN.com/member is where you can find out how to join the club that Kyle is a part of. But if that's not...
It's the cool kids club.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool California kids, for sure. But we're not... it's not just limited to California, but you're also a podcaster in your own right. You have now... you've passed over the 10-episode threshold that I've sort of unofficially set as the the limit, yep, or the minimum bar for Show Me Your Mic now is over at Build and Ship, your podcast, buildandship.tv. Buildandship.tv? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Buildandship.tv is the URL.
And so for folks who haven't listened yet, what's the show?
The general premise is that we wanted to create a podcast that was about an actual thing. And so what we decided to do, I know that kind of sounds really convoluted, but we wanted to have a specific focus for it too. What it's about is creating a product, like a digital product from start to finish. The item that we chose to kind of start it all off with was an iOS application. And I did it with my good friend, James Mason, who lives in Colorado, and he's an engineering graduate student over there.
Nice. And so first of all, I wanted to ask, where did you source your intro music? And I actually realized this afterwards. I went back to episode one and saw that, but what did you, because you got some nifty little intro.
Yeah, music. You know, that's a tough thing. It's the first thing people hear a lot of times. And I wanted to have something catchy, but not something that, you know, felt too much like it was about development or too techie. Or too dancey, I guess. And we settled on this kind of 8-bit/drum intro by a guy named Danimal Cannon. And I just kind of emailed him out of the blue. He had a Bandcamp page, which I did link to on episode one. And we just emailed him and asked him if it would be okay and said, you know, we're probably not going to have any sponsors for this. So there's not going to be any, we're not going to be making any money off of it. And he said it was cool and just attributed him on the first episode and we went from there.
I'll just see if it actually is. Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, I think, so that's the intro music there, but, and he's getting lots
Welcome to Build and Ship week one.
There we go.
In the last episode, week 11, I actually did the intro live mixed for the first time. So I didn't have it put into the template, and I had it on a soundboard here and, started it, had it recording as a separate track, ducked it when I wanted to start talking, and it ended up being pretty cool. Really easy, you know, almost no editing when we were...
I thought he dropped out. I was actually trying to find the screen. I thought I heard the Skype call drop.
Yep. Looks like I lost you.
Yeah. That's what I get for playing your podcast while I'm recording a podcast. Because I thought I heard the little thing, something drop out. Yeah, I thought you ended the sentence kind of abruptly. I wasn't sure, and then kept going. But there we go. Luckily, Skype does the auto connect or auto reconnect. So
yeah.
Anyways, you were saying you mixed it live as opposed to doing it after the fact in post, and maybe just, I guess, what the reasoning for that is, just to do it a little quicker and that kind of thing.
It was to just do it a little bit quicker and kind of, I mean, you guys do all this stuff live too. And, it's pretty impressive that you guys are able to, you know, juggle talking to me and putting out tweets and have this all going live at the same time. And, it's something that I will probably want to do towards the future. And, I figured, you know, may as well start this now and try and figure out how I could do it, or how we could have kind of intro music and sounds kind of going at the same time as everything else. So,
right. So
it was a lot less work to edit that later too.
Yeah. What did you end up using? So just talk me through a bit of the gear and stuff that you're using for the show.
Soundboard. I use the Ambrosia soundboard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a popular, and are you using it on an iPad, the iPad app, or on your Mac?
I'm not. I'm using it. So I guess I could talk about the Mac setup I have for this right now.
Sure.
I have a MacBook Pro running the Ambrosia software with the intro on there. And then I have a iMac, which is kind of recording us at the moment. And then a Mac Mini is where the Skype call comes in.
Gotcha. So you're doing the three, similar to what I do, and a lot of folks are doing nowadays, is the sort of three Mac setup. And you have some sort of mixer that you're using as well in there. What's a model, brand, whatever?
So I actually, as a little bit of background, I started my career in music as a drummer, and I wanted to be able to record drums, and I didn't want to have to spend a ton of money on just a plain old mixer from like a Guitar Center or anything, where you have to kind of plug everything in and then there's one output that goes into the computer where you record. So I did a little bit of research and found something called a FirePod by PreSonus. And this is probably something from 2006, 2005 that they've since replaced with something called the FP10. But it's a 24-bit 96K FireWire recording interface. So there's not really any mixing capabilities. It's just simply a bunch of mic inputs and a bunch of line inputs that then go out into a FireWire cable that I can plug into the back of my Mac.
Nice. And then into what are you using for software to record?
Software right now, I've been jumping through a couple of different applications. I started with Adobe Audition, which is what I'm in right now. But I had this kind of in-between phase where I was using something called Multitrack Studio at multitrackstudio.com. On my iMac, it's a 2007 iMac, mid 2007, I think. And It doesn't run software very well. It's just barely struggling to run Adobe Audition right now and record multiple tracks. So I wanted to find something a little more lightweight, and I ended up finding Multitrack Studio, which is super lightweight. I think the download is 6 megabytes or something, or 8 megabytes. It'll record multi-tracks, but I was having some weird issues with having inputs from 2 different machines plus the Mac Mini that runs the Skype call. So after a little while, I had to eventually ditch that one in order to do kind of this live mixing I was talking about earlier. And I've jumped back into Adobe Audition.
Are you using the latest, like, whatever they're calling it now, Creative Cloud version?
CC. No, I'm actually on CS6.
Okay.
Still.
which is one version back, right?
It is one version back. Yeah, I've been looking at CC. There seems to be a couple of cool features for that, but I mean, there's $19 a month for one program. I can't justify that at the moment.
Yeah, I know that's a tough. The whole Creative Cloud debate, I guess, is a whole other discussion for another show, probably. But yeah, the ongoing. When you come from the day and age of paying $200-$400 for the software, it's kind of like, well, use it for a month at $19. It's not too bad to try it out. But yeah.
If you're I would love to use Logic, especially the new Logic Pro 10 or X or whichever they're calling it. That one seems pretty great. I actually use Logic to compose a lot of the music I do on a larger machine, the Mac Pro. But I don't have that as part of my studio setup here. I really would love to use Logic, but right now, actually, Audition seems to work really well with this hardware in terms of grabbing the sound and being able to route it back out and apply effects to it and then send it to what you'd be hearing right now. So I actually have a compressor, an equalizer, a limiter, like everything loaded up onto my voice, and it's sending it back over to you through Skype.
Right. And but in software, in the...
Yeah, in software, which is interesting. So it's what I guess it's a little bit of weird finagling, but I have the inputs to my headphones, my monitoring turned all the way down. So I'm actually only hardware monitoring my voice, and I'm hearing everything else coming from the hardware being monitored to my headphones. But what I'm having sent through the actual line outputs are an affected version of that I'm software monitoring with Adobe Audition. I could probably draw it out or make a tutorial for this if people are interested, but it's a little weird, and I've spent probably way too long trying to figure this out and make it sound good.
Well, no, and you sound really good. That's what I was joking with on another show with and about having you on here and saying I didn't really want to have you on because your voice sounds too good. And so, which it's again.
Well, thank you, Chris. Yeah, that actually means a lot to me.
My backhanded compliment expertise coming into play there, but no, I think it would be worth doing. I know I threw up on Dribbble. I didn't throw up on Dribbble. I threw a.
You dribbled a little bit of throw up onto Dribbble.
Just a rough schematic thing that I did for what I'm, sort of my gear and setup on with SSKTN, and definitely folks sort of appreciate that and kind of like having that visual of, so yeah, throwing something together like that anyways would probably be worth doing because it helps. It's always interesting just, we all kind of use variations on the sort of the basic level stuff, which some folks are using, where it's just a mic, USB mic into the computer, and they're talking on Skype and they record with Skype call recorder. That's sort of one level, and there's variations on that. And then there's the sort of next level up of some sort of mixer, some sort of computer gear and stuff, but you're still not throwing a whole bunch of hardware racks of compressors and limiters and whatever. You're still doing all the software stuff, which, I mean, it sounds good, so why not?
I mean, well, I would love that. I would love to just have an effects rack here where I'm routing things and porting things. I mean, I love audio. I love the sound of I hate the sound of my own voice, but I love trying to like figure all of this stuff out. It feels like every time I do this, it feels like a puzzle. And I think that's what is really appealing to all of this, is that there's not really a set equation for what is going to sound good. It's almost like design, right? It's very much just whatever works and whatever feels right and whatever sounds good is what's going to be the most effective. And I feel like I think I kind of hit a stride with this, and things sound good so far. I don't know where I'm going to go from here, whether I'm going to upgrade to some actual hardware compressors and stuff like that, but it's working so far. So I'm happy with it.
So your final edits are done now. I forget which way you ended up. Are you back in Audition or back
Oh yeah. So sorry. I am back in Adobe Audition right now, and that's where I will end up kind of slicing up the show, doing a tiny bit of editing. I leave in a lot of those terrible ums. I have really bad vocal tics, but I just leave them in, I guess. It sounds more natural. And from there we export to probably a 96 kilobyte or 112 kilobyte and throw it up onto Libsyn, is the one I use for hosting.
Nice.
And yeah, I really like Libsyn. You can see all of the statistics and the downloads and the numbers, and it was really helpful in terms of finding out that we were featured on iTunes. One of the first few weeks that we created this, we had, you know, a huge number of downloads. Huge from what we expected. That's part of kind of why I feel like this was a pretty successful project, is we kind of went into it without any expectations and just wanted to catalog things for ourselves and put it out there for people who may find it beneficial, but really not have any expectations about it.
And so, with that in mind, I guess 11 episodes in to the show, you're, as of episode 11, you have shipped it, or oh no?
Well, yeah, that's. I guess I should say the show isn't done at the moment, but the run that we've had with this project that we were on, we are finished with it. The show is called Build and Ship, and I feel a little bit ridiculous saying that it hasn't shipped, but it's more of the idea of like working through something and getting it to a point where whether it actually ships or not, we feel like we've learned something from the process and we feel like we've accomplished something. And it was actually inspired a lot by Josh Long and Drew Wilson's book, Execute, both the creation of the podcast and the actual kind of product that we were working on. But the main thing that we wanted to do was differentiate take the skills that you already have and do something super quick into treat this as a learning experience and try and find out, you know, how each other work and what it's going to take in order to, if we wanted to do this again, what that should entail and what we could do better each time in order to make this process better. And I think it's almost like creating a company or trying to figure out how to work with coworkers. So you can kind of draw a lot of analogies between what we are doing as sort of a side project and over Skype and, you know, we've been best friends for 15 years thing into like, I just met this person and this designer developer, and I need to figure out how to work with them. And it's been a ton of fun. And I do want to actually mention too, that it was very much inspired by your show, this show, actually, Show Me Your Mic. I was listening to, which episode? I'm sure it was the episode with Tim Smith, episode 2, maybe?
Yeah.
One of those. Yeah. And I was flying over to South by Southwest and just listening to, you know, what it takes to kind of put all this stuff together. It sounded pretty complicated, but it sounded like a challenge that I wanted to face and kind of try and create something for myself that wasn't a piece of art, I guess. It was more of a product. So the whole project itself is kind of one of those kind of build and ship sort of things. But I was the one kind of creating the website and putting it through WordPress and setting it up with iTunes and stuff. And I brought James on, my co-host, when it was time to kind of create this whole build and ship product from start to finish, the actual thing we are focusing on.
Right. And so just a bit about how you guys actually set up and plan to record and stuff like that. and sort of prepare for a show, who does most of the sort of like, okay, this week we're going to do this, and what are you using to sort of collaborate on taking it one step? You obviously talk about some of the collaboration tools you use for the building the app itself, but as far as what you're using for the podcast, what are you doing there?
Typically, we'll be on a Google document, a Google Drive doc, and we have one document that we keep from week to week, and we just separate them into pages. And then depending on what kind of week both of us had, excuse me.
It's okay. You can get a little emotional. It's always hard talking,
on water.
Hard talking about it. So.
All right. Sorry.
Is that California water or are you?
Yeah. Ooh, boy.
It was down hard.
Sorry, man.
I was worried I was going to have to somehow do a Skype audio Heimlich maneuver thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Over the internet. You may be able to send a little bit of a jolt.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're using Google Docs. We have one document that carries from week to week. It was tough. Some of those middle episodes, you can kind of feel like, okay, they started talking in this episode and they didn't really have a direction. and that was absolutely the case. We did have something we wanted to kind of focus on and get the progress reports out. But it's like those meetings that you have where you just need to give the status of something and there's not really much else to talk about. And we wanted to fill some time with something valuable for the listener. And sometimes that was successful and sometimes that wasn't. So out of 11 episodes, that ratio can be kind of high, unfortunately, between stuff that's useful and stuff that isn't. But yeah, we just stuck it in a Google document, and typically I would write the outline for the episode, and James and I would just work through that.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, because I know there's such a difference between the workflow for a podcast that you do with folks or versus a podcast you do solo, or like where I'm interviewing you, and my workflow changes from that. Like I just use everything local. I don't have to worry about Google Docs syncing and all that kind of stuff, and just text edit, right, text files and stuff. But and then yeah, the shows we do with other folks, then it's a little more involved. You have to share.
Well, and that was that. It may sound easy or whatever, but trying to get your co-host of a show to show up every week can be tough too. Just like trying to trying to book a guest, it could be just as difficult. Especially being a side project, this was something that, you know, every week we did want to talk, and every week we wanted to at least talk offline about the project we were doing. But to show up at 8 p.m. my time, 9 p.m. his time, and want to do a half an hour, 45 minute talk between the two of us over, you know, something we had been working on all week or something that we hadn't worked on for 2 weeks, it's tough. So working through that was one of the most important things that I learned about this whole thing, is just sticking to it. And I mean, it may not totally pay off, but I feel good about it, and I'm glad that I did this whole thing.
Yeah, I think in podcasting, that's one of those things where I always go back and forth. It's kind of the grass is greener on the other side always scenario of having an interview show, and it's like, oh, I got to arrange guests and schedule and blah, blah, blah. And it'd be so easy if we just had a co-host and we just always knew every Tuesday at 10 a.m. or whatever we record. But then you do start doing that, and your co-host or co-hosts or whatever sometimes show up. Well, usually they show up. I'm speaking from personal experience. They usually show up, but yeah, maybe they've had a busy week, a crappy week, or they've been on holidays, or you've been on holidays, and all of a sudden it's just hard to, you can't just quickly, it's a lot harder to vamp and come up with a good show when you obviously haven't prepared as well. And so with co-hosts, whereas with a guest, short of, you know, completely not preparing at all, it's a lot easier to sort of just, you're having a fresh conversation with a new person for the first time, likely, and it's a little easier to make something interesting, even if you're not completely head in the game on the show. So,
absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree.
So, speaking of being prepared, I wasn't prepared for where to go from that conversation. Just in an interest of transparency and
well, no, I can go through a couple more pieces of my gear if you'd like.
Yeah, well, actually, and part of that, and you referenced this earlier, and I wanted to bring it into the discussion too, is your day job. Are you allowed to say where you work on a?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, podcast? I can. Yeah, it's on my website, so I figure that should be okay. I work for a company called Mophie. They create mobile accessories and software for iOS currently, and so we basically we create the battery cases for your iPhone, and I work as an interaction designer there, and I definitely love my job. I work on mostly the interface and visual design and interaction design and user experience for iOS products right now.
And it's actually, a ton of fun. As of if you're listening live or maybe even later today, they're in the process of relaunching their website. So that's why you're not going to get anything on there right now. But there's some great videos and presumably they'll still be on there in some form. And when the new site launches, you're not involved with the website itself, right? That's what you had mentioned.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. They're doing a relaunch today. So hopefully by the time this goes out, they should be up and running. It was a really good, should be a really good launch. I know the guy working on it, obviously, and he's been working really hard on it. So hopefully it's well received.
Yeah. And part of what was on the old site and will hopefully be somewhere on the new site as well is the sort of video tutorial training, marketing videos, type mm-hmm. stuff that was on there that you actually did the audio for. And or the voice, anyways, the voiceover for
is that? Yeah, yeah. I actually from the beginning. I mean, Mophie's been kind of a small team for a little while, but we didn't really have anybody doing video. And when I first came to the company about 2.5 years ago, now almost three, that was a role that I just kind of started randomly filling and doing the voiceovers, doing the music production. Creating the videos, learning 3D motion graphics and stuff like that. So I had a hand in a lot of those, but since then it's kind of blossomed into a full on marketing campaigns and stuff, and they're doing a really great job of it so far.
And so is that where you mentioned drumming was sort of your one gateway drug, if you will, towards podcasting, but is that sort of also the getting a familiarity with, you know, gear and recording and talking and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Talking, not so much. We were, I mean, in high school, you play in a garage band that makes really terrible music and you want to record it. And so we were trying to find a way to record that and make it not sound super terrible, but going back and listening to that stuff now, it's so bad.
Is it
it's
online really somewhere?
Bad. It's, oh my gosh, it probably is online somewhere. I don't know if I'm going to show you that. That's a good question. I may, Chris, I may.
Well,
I may.
Somebody might dig it up. We'll see.
But, yeah. Goodness. That would, oh. But so I started out as a drummer and yeah, like I said, like trying to figure out how to mic instruments and because I actually had an acoustic set. And so trying to mic all the different drums and get different sounds and having overheads and, you know, you mic the kick with one drum and you mic the snare with with one mic and you mic the snare with a different mic. And just the different types of tonalities that you're trying to get and making sure things don't bleed between stuff. It was a really complex first go at like trying to figure out the whole recording process and mics and everything like that. But vocals and everything can be just as complex, I feel. The mic I'm using right now, it's actually one of the mics that I would either use for the overheads or I would mic a couple of toms with, kind of the higher end toms. It's an MXL 990. And it's a condenser mic, so you have to route phantom power to it. But for vocals, it's okay. That's why I'm having to run all these different effects racks on it and send it to you through Skype. It just gets a lot of room noise. I would love to upgrade it to say like a the Shure SM7 or one of those or the PR40 obviously. But I just it's hard to hard to justify those as well when I don't have people really supporting the podcast with, you know, financially or am I bringing in any other sort of income for this thing specifically.
Right. And that's, yeah. But it sounds, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I've said before, like I said, it sounds really good. The setup that you're using anyways, and sounds like you don't have my issue of potentially either kids running in and banging on the doors or a vacuum cleaner going in the background like there is.
Well, right? I have four cats. And at the moment they're sleeping, so things are okay. But every week we would record the podcast, and I would definitely have to remove. Oh man, that's a terrible Freudian slip. But I would have to remove some of the them from the mix at the end for sure.
So you know, would actually?
It's just what you do.
Yeah. How much editing did you do of the or do you do of the show when you're after post production work?
Depends. There were weeks where I wouldn't edit at all. I would only put the intro and the outro. Week 11, I did a pretty significant amount of editing only because a call dropped out and I didn't want there to be this long silence. So trying to finesse that, like having where somebody dropped out and then restarting the conversation and not making that sound weird. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I mean, you're gonna have to do that for this episode probably, if you do it at all.
Yeah, so, we'll see how lazy I am after I finish recording.
You're lazy to edit.
Yeah, exactly. Because that goes back to, I think, the discussion of a natural reality of what the conversation was is kind of fun. And obviously you don't want to have a big, long, fumbling, one-sided, time-filling conversation, but mm-hmm. But yeah, having the natural stuff. And then that's an argument, I guess, that could be made for this show where, you know, it's a bit of the behind the scenes of recording a podcast, and why not show some of the things that happen in reality of recording a podcast that go on that you might have to deal with when you're setting up a show. So
totally, yeah. And I think you do a good job of that. It's just kind of like, you know, the episodes start and they feel very natural. They don't feel forced a lot of times. And I think Dan Benjamin over at 5x5 obviously does that pretty well too, where it's, you know, the frequency is all off the cuff kind of stuff. And it's weird. You feel like you're in the studio with them. And I don't know, from a sound, you know, I sit behind this microphone all the time perspective. It's kind of cool. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, there's no question that what he does, and going back to streaming live, whether it's streamed live or just live to tape, so to speak, or live to mm-hmm. hard disk or flash drive, too many different devices to come up with a nice simple thing. But he does, yeah, unquestionably a great job of recording and making all that sound good. And I think like the live angle, which is something you haven't dabbled with yet, right? Like as far as live streaming the recording.
That's correct. Yeah. No, we haven't done any live shows yet.
Right. And that's, which for anybody listening, in case you're not aware, I don't often talk about it on the show, but it's something that we do here as I record and stream it out live at sskTN.com/live, as long as I remember to hit the right button and turn it on, which has happened a few times or I've forgotten. But, you know, and a few folks, there's a chat room, you can tune in and mouth back at, give us feedback, nice thoughts or not otherwise. And it just, yeah, creates a bit of, I enjoy it because it creates a bit of community. It's you can get distracted by it if it's a show like this where it's more of an interview show that you wouldn't necessarily want to always just be polling the chat room for and waiting because there's a, you know, an audio delay as it goes out and things like that. But yeah. So looking forward to the future, I guess, with Build and Ship, what's the app? I don't think actually we've talked about it. What actually is the app that you're building and shipping?
Yeah, the app that we decided to do, we had been talking about offline for a little bit before we even started the podcast. And my friend James wanted to create something to split transactions between people where, say two people go out to lunch, one of them ends up paying more oftentimes than the other person ends up paying kind of for the total bill. And being able to track that and say like, oh, actually, you owe me this time. And so they'll end up paying for that meal or that bill between roommates or, you know, rent between a couple of people. It's a pretty simple premise, but it's splitting money amounts between people. And we called it fission because he comes from a science background and I come from a science background as well. And it sounded kind of interesting. And so it actually kind of really kickstarted us back into getting in the groove of wanting to actually ship this thing. And right now it's at sort of the minimum viable product stage where things work. And I actually used it this weekend with a couple of friends and tracked some events and transactions. But it's not in a design ready phase to be kind of put onto the App Store. So we may eventually put that into the App Store. But for the time being, we've kind of concluded the whole build and ship podcast aspect of it. And from now on, it'll probably be a every other week. We work on it. We talk a little bit about it. We learn how to implement some of the designs that we have over at fissionapp.com. And from there, kind of looking at the future of build and ship, I have one product in mind that I probably will work on my own. Whether or not that's going to be something that I can talk to for 30 minutes by myself, I'm unsure so far, but I kind of have something in mind and I may see if it'll work and sort of restart the whole process. So we'll see.
Yeah, I would it'd be interesting to follow along. And so the stuff on fissionapp.com is whether it's Photoshop or whatever you're using, just mock-ups at this point, right? It's not screenshots from the actual app.
Well, pretty close. The mock-ups on there are from SketchApp, which we used to design the app. But a couple of screenshots from the app itself look pretty close. It's just not totally there yet. So not ready to hit the App Store yet.
Right. And you talked through some of the things as far as pricing and you know, sort of talk it all through in the podcast, implementation app pricing features and things like that you're going to use and deliverables and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a good little sort of package of 11. So will there be a sort of looking back, you know, final 12th episode kind of thing? Nice round. I don't know why 12 isn't a round number more than 11, but maybe it's a dozen.
We did a little bit of a nice baker's dozen. Maybe we did a little bit of that towards the end of the last episode, week 11. But I don't know. It's tough. It's like I was saying before. I guess I didn't necessarily mean that. It's tough to talk to a person every week that you know. It was more like trying to set a scheduled time for a time to talk with a specific person. Can be tough from week to week when this sort of thing kind of isn't your full-time job. And he was traveling a lot and I kind of had a lot of stuff going on during May and June. So we'll probably stop it here at week 11 and how the numbering will go from there, not sure yet, but I do kind of want to resurrect it with a new project. So should be exciting.
Neat. And I love the sort of simple but clear branding and just the site build even for what you did. And obviously as you scale up, if you, you know, keep the podcast going, then having all the episodes on the homepage, just speaking of how someone might think about designing a podcast website, you know, that scales up obviously, or it doesn't scale up as well if you keep going into 50, 60 episodes. But at the same time, right. I love just the simple, clean look of the show, the page, the episode pages and all that kind of stuff that you did with the site. So,
well, thank you. It was actually, I mean, I can't take all the credit for it, but it was something that I was inspired to just kind of put together as quickly as I could. The logo for it, the name for it, just like the logotype and everything else underneath it was created really, really quickly using something called PageLines, which is a framework for WordPress, and it was in their previous iteration. Right now, they're running something called DMS, Design Management System. But what we were able to do with that was just load up WordPress, load up a really default theme, and using kind of custom CSS stuff, throw in our own images and rearrange things and add some cool type and stuff. And we were able to put that out in a day or two. So that was really, it was really integral in kind of pushing forward the idea that it's more about the product and it's more about the content on the podcast. And I'm not going to dwell on the design of everything. But with this kind of second project that we're planning for it, or that I'm planning for it, not totally sure how I'll do that yet. It may end up looking kind of like like yours does now, where you have a couple of shows sort of stacked up and turning those into projects kind of within the Build and Ship name.
Right. Yeah. Fun times ahead.
I hope so. Yeah, it should be fun. I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, you kind of have this expertise, not expertise, but more you've done a podcast by yourself before, kind of the Too Lazy to Blog thing. Was it tough to kind of do that on your own, or were you able to fill the time with things other than vacuums?
Yeah, it's speaking in a vacuum, it's tough. I get too self-conscious on my own, I think, when I'm talking to myself. And, you know, I'm talking right now, obviously, to my computer, and you're not, obviously, physically, you're not in the room anywhere, and I don't see a Skype window. I don't see, like, there's no indication other than, you know, you talking back to me that there's somebody here. So it's really not that all that different than me just turning on the record button and talking too. But I think I sort of went back and forth from having it so scripted that I was basically just kind of reading a blog post or whatever, like reading a script, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, to then having nothing scripted and kind of just running out of breath, because I would just keep talking and talking and talking and not really getting anywhere, and feeling like I just have to keep feeling. And so, I've struggled. I'd love to be able to get back to doing that idea of, and I've sort of toyed with, I've mentioned here too, like, you know, whether it's a member's feed, kind of similar to what Sean Blanc does over at SeanBlanc.net. Mm-hmm. Something like that, or just, yeah, the Too Lazy to Blog thing. My wife and I were talking about it, and she said, you just need to let Too Lazy to Blog die and let it go away. So I don't know, maybe that's she often gives me good advice, harsh advice that I don't always want to hear sometimes, and or don't want to admit to myself. But I think I just really stuck on the name and really enjoyed it. But it seems, it's gone through three different revisions. I think maybe it is time just to say, put it out to pasture, and along with experts on everything and other shows that have gone the way of the dodo bird on SSKTN. I like the format, and I think it's a really challenging idea and format. As I've talked now for 3 minutes or whatever straight.
That's okay. That's all right. I'm listening, man. Yeah. I'm listening.
But it's a challenging way to push yourself as a podcaster, broadcaster, whatever you want to call yourself, audio producer, as well as talking. And I think that's the angle on it that I've taken, is I'll do it. I think I'm going to do something like that where, yeah, just to push myself. And sort of like actually the show that you were on, so just a little cross promotional thing of, I set up a new specials show, but episode one of that sort of feed, which ended up titling "Is This the Show?" where it basically, you know, calling up sort of a reverse call-in show with where I call people on my Skype Rolodex, so to speak. And
I enjoyed that. I was able to catch the rest of it, or catch the beginning of it, and I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, and I had to, in the midst of all that, we recorded that on last Thursday, and then in the process, this weekend I had switched over hosting. I picked up a deal with WP Engine hosting for a while, and just DNS issues and caching and all that stuff over the weekend. So I didn't actually get to properly launch the show until last night or yesterday, Monday here as we record. Or yeah, Tuesday is today, but yesterday was Monday. Anyway, so it's finally out there. But actually, just it brought up an interesting idea for me of, I just tweeted out a direct link to the show in the meantime, said here it is, you know, because my site is screwed up and I don't have time to fix it right now and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of made it, you know, in terms of numbers and whatever, it was interesting sort of seeing how many people still downloaded it, because just through a Twitter account and Facebook page and stuff like that. And just, yeah, it brought up an interesting idea of like, why do we always have to have a full website for a podcast? Why not just have a Twitter account that tweets out the link and people go download it? And obviously, there's show notes that you'd miss out on and things like that. But just a little, you know, going back to sort of a really lightweight, quick and easy thing. It was kind of nice on that hand. If I wasn't dealing with all the caching DNS issues, I might have thought about it more and left it as sort of like a Twitter show almost or something. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Like the whole making sure things feel kind of lightweight and you are a content delivery system and kind of no matter which way. I mean, with Libsyn, I don't think I'm tracking where those downloads are coming from. So whether they're coming from iTunes or people going to the site or anything like that. I mean, based on the traffic that I'm getting to the site, I don't think people are actually listening on the website. So really keeping the focus on something that is about the content and super lightweight, and whether that's, you know, through Twitter and sending out a link to the MP3 file, or whether that's a full-fledged website that, you know, points to an iTunes feed. It really is just about getting something out there. And that's what I've been trying to kind of focus on. I would love to start more podcasts and love to keep things going. But I don't know. Sometimes the motivation, getting that motivation is tough, or having the motivation is easy. Let me say that part. Being able to execute on that motivation is the tough part. So keeping things simple is really important to me.
Yeah. And the whole, the idea for a show is easy to do. And then the actual execution of it is a
bingo.
Yeah. And especially past episode one too. It's like,
yeah, no kidding. Well, and you were saying a little bit about like putting Too Lazy to Blog kind of out to pasture and leaving it alone for a little while, or even just like completely stopping it. And not that I'm condoning that or saying that you should do that, but getting feedback in general was pretty integral in like making us feel like we were doing something. We would get maybe in the total of the whole thing, we got maybe four emails and probably four reviews on iTunes. And just kind of that little bit, knowing that somebody was listening to it and that somebody was, I mean, whether they were being critical about it and saying like, you guys don't know what you're talking about and you should really stop, or whether they were saying like, you know, I'm really enjoying this. I'm actually working on my own product, and just having this in the background and hearing you guys kind of talk shop is interesting to me, was enough of a kind of a motivator to keep us going with it and bring it to this culmination of, we're not really shipping, but we're kind of finishing out the project. It's working. It was so nice just hearing from people. And I know Tim in the chat room was one of those people who left a review on our iTunes page one of the first weeks. And, you know, hey, maybe that alone skyrocketed us into the new and noteworthy section. So, you know, I'm super grateful for all of the support that we got throughout the whole thing. And I'm sorry that it has to, you know, end so kind of abruptly so far, but there should be some really exciting chapters in its journey soon.
Yeah, that's I was gonna say, Tim carries a lot of weight with in the podcasting world. So I mean,
yes,
he's that's Timothy B. Smith. Which, actually, speaking of a little segue, if you do want to leave a comment or review, I would really love it too on iTunes. Show Me Your Mic is in there. If you do a search for SSKTN in the iTunes podcast store section, you can see all the other shows there, and go ahead and leave 5-star reviews for all of them if you want, if you're just, you know, got nothing to do for, it only takes a couple minutes. And it does actually help in terms of review and or promotion and possibility of getting promoted outside of other, your regular sort of areas in iTunes. And so if you do like a show that you, whether it's my show or someone else's show you listen to, it is worth helping them out by going and leaving a quick rating review. And the review part is nice for, I don't know how many people actually read reviews of podcasts before listening to them, because I mean, they're free and you can go download them, but I think it is definitely helpful for the producers out there to be able to see the feedback and read, I guess, from folks. And you can also sskdn.com/contact and leave me a note if you want, if you're interested in coming on the show in the future. And I want to get Kyle out of here, because I know he has to go to to another podcast with Timothy B. Smith over on the eastwing.net right away here. But just quickly, so I can wrap up, what are some of your favorite podcasts that you listen to on the
internet? That's a very good question. So I am not only a podcaster, but I'm probably more an avid podcast listener. I listen probably way too much. My unread or my unlistened count on Instacast on my phone is 243 right now. And it makes every time I look at it, I feel super terrible that I'm not able to catch up with everything that people are putting out right now. But some of my kind of recent favorites, of course, I love all the shows that you're putting out on SSKTN. One of my new favorite shows is Babblenut with Paul Armstrong and Tim Smith, who's also in the chat room. The Balance podcast with Joel Buchelman and Aaron Irizarry, I believe is how you say the other guy's name. That one's, I think they're in their third episode, but Kyle Steed was their first interview on there. And it's kind of all about balancing your work and kind of home life together. And that's something that, I mean, the whole premise of Build and Ship was to kind of do something as a side project and put something out that we work on our off time. And so finding that balance was really important to me. And I think they're doing a really great job over there with kind of interviewing people and finding out, you know, from all different kinds of perspectives, what people are doing. I also use something called SoundGecko, soundgecko.com. It's a tool that will take articles and throw them into a like spoken voice thing, and then you can load them up as a podcast. So I'll do that a lot with like Medium articles and things that I don't want to sit here and look at my screen for 35 minutes while I read a 5,000 word article.
Does it add like a auto hipster voice if it comes from medium.com? Is it?
It's that's a good question. They have a couple of voices. They have I pay a little bit extra, and I think there's a female voice that you can get when you pay money. So it's a little easier to listen to, a little softer on the ears. The voice that you don't pay money for is a male voice, and it's kind of choppy and kind of weird. So SoundGecko for sure is something that I use a lot. A couple of others I listen to, The Gently Mad with Adam Clark. I enjoy that one a lot. Pixel Recess with Paul Armstrong. I really enjoy that. I know that one's kind of on a hiatus right now, but it's so good. It's really good. And then I listen to a whole bunch of 5x5 shows. And any 5x5 references you would probably make in any of your shows, I say them out loud into my radio, and you know, it's your show, yeah. Stuff like that. So
he doesn't need any more promotion. He's got,
no, I'm a terrible, I'm not a jackal, but I am absolutely a fan.
Yeah. Cool. So where can folks find you, follow you, stalk you, all that kind of stuff on the webs?
On the internet, you can go to kyleroderick.com. I have most of my information there. You can also follow me on Twitter, Kyle Roderick, R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K. Buildandship.tv is the podcast that I run. What else? All of those kind of links are all available on my website. So if you just go there and go to the About section, I have, you know, the movies I'm watching, the beers I'm drinking, the everything else about me, the music I'm making. So
nice. And somebody at some point will hopefully have dug up your old band website. So
I'll find, you know what? I'll probably show you here. Let me see. I have one that I can show you, and then I'll send it to you. This is going to be super embarrassing. Holy moly.
It's all good. Well,
yeah, go ahead. You can close out the show, and I'll get
you. Yeah, you can email it to me, and we'll go from there. But you can of course find me on the Twitters, iChris, and follow SSKTN on Twitter at SSKTN, facebook.com/SSKTN. There's a email newsletter which I've fallen off. I think it's just the sunny weather and being outside a little more. I haven't gotten around to sending out the sort of, I'm trying to get into the habit of a weekly Monday morning-ish kind of newsletter. I'll send out just a word about what's up ahead this week on SSKTN, and maybe a Friday one saying this is what had happened, or one of those anyways I'll get around to doing each week. And so that's at sskTN.com/newsletter. And of course you can view the schedule of when we record live at sskTN.com/calendar, and then the live pages /live also has a bit of the calendar on there too. Chat room there, you can join in with the folks in the chat room while we record, when we record. And I think that's it for this episode. Thanks, Kyle, for coming on. And be sure to go tune in, listen to him continue chatting if you haven't had enough Kyle yet, which I can't imagine that you have, over at theeastwing.net with Timothy B. Smith. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Show Me Your Mic on the SSKTN Podcast Network. Follow along on Twitter at SSKTN or like us on Facebook.com/SSKTN. Be sure to visit SSKTN.com for interviews with other podcasters, as well as learn about other shows we produce, such as Welcome to the Internet, Too Lazy to Blog, and Lost in Lemon.